Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We are now in the 26th chapter of 1 Samuel. A lot's been going on in David's life. I mean, just thing after thing after thing. But guess what? Saul still wants him. Saul's still pursuing him. So verse 1 says this. Then the Ziphites came to Saul at Gibeah, saying, "Is not David hiding on the hill of Hakilah, which is before Jeshumun?" Well, here we go again, guys. We got another group that want to ingratiate themselves to Saul, that want to keep Saul off their back, that want to really sort of, in vernacular of the day, suck up somebody to Saul. And they say, "Hey, you know what? David's over here hiding on the hill of Hakilah," okay? And you look up and say, "Well, what is that?" Well, it's a hill. But that word actually means dark. So David's over hiding in the shadows. He's hiding away from you. And we know where he is. So verse 2, "So Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having with him 3,000 chosen men of Israel, to search for David in the wilderness of Ziph. Saul camped in the hill of Hakilah, which is before Jeshumun, beside the road, and David was staying in the wilderness." Now, just think about this. The Ziphites told him where he was. Okay, he's over in this area, on this hill before this place. Saul comes in with 3,000 guys, not very subtle, not very stealthy, comes in. He camps in that hill, just camps out on the hill, which is before Jeshumun, beside the road. So they're not hiding off in the woods. They're camped here on the hill beside the road. Well, yeah, you can see the road. You can see all this. But where's David staying? Yeah, he's in the wilderness. He's not out here in the main thoroughfares. But watch what happens at the end of verse 3. When David saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness, David sent out spies, and he knew that Saul was definitely coming. So David saw the activity, saw some things going on. He thought, okay, what's happening here with this thing? He sends some spies out, and that verifies what we said, two or three episodes earlier, of how Saul and David both had to be sending out spies and sending out folks to get the lay of the land. So David did that, and he knew that Saul was definitely coming. So what did David do? Verse 5, "David then arose and came to the place where Saul had camped." So this is great. Before, we see David getting up and fleeing. There's times when David lays low in a cave. Now he's actually going to Saul's camp. He's going to go check it out. He's going to go see what they're doing. I continue, verse 5. "And David saw the place where Saul lay, and Abner, the son of Ner, the commander of his army. And Saul was lying in the circle of the camp, and the people were camped around him." So this is a lot of detail. We can see exactly what's going on here. They have camped. There's 3,000 plus of them. Saul is in the middle. They've camped in circles around Saul. So this would be like concentric circles all the way out. The key leader in the middle, you'd have to go through the army to get to him. And David sees this. David sees that Saul is laying asleep, and Abner, the commander of the army, is right there, right next to him. Verse 6, "Then David said to Ahimelech the Hittite and to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, saying, 'Who will go down with me to Saul in the camp?' And Abishai said, 'I'll go down there with you.'" And you're thinking, why does David want to go down to Saul? Did he see something? Did he glean something? Did he discern something? Had the Lord revealed something to him? I think that he probably saw in the natural some things that were going on that hopefully we'll get to today. We'll see. Verse 7. "So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping inside the circle of the camp with his spear stuck in the ground at his head. And Abner and the people were lying around him." Everybody is socked out. They're all asleep. Verse 8. "Then Abishai said to David," now they're going to carry on this conversation here in the midst of all these people. And Abishai says this, "Today God has delivered your enemy into your hands. Now, therefore, please let me strike him with a spear to the ground with one stroke, and I will not strike him the second time. So Abishai is picking up what we've seen already. They're saying, hey, the Lord has delivered the enemy into your hand here, David. But Abishai also heard what David has said before. He knew that David did not want to touch God's anointed. He would not touch God's anointed. So he volunteered to do it. He said, let me strike him. And he said, as a matter of fact, I'll strike him in such a way that it will honor him. He'll die with just one stroke. I won't strike him several times. I won't mutilate him. I won't do that. I'll just simply kill him. And that was a point of honor. Okay? Look what David said, verse 9. But David said to Abishai, do not destroy him. For who can stretch out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be without guilt? See, David knew that even giving permission to do this was the same as doing it. Well, I'll tell you what, there's some politicians today that could learn from that. And I'm hoping that they will learn very, very soon. I think we may have some things happening that will look sort of like these kind of things that we're reading here in David's life. Verse 10, David also said this. As the Lord lives, surely the Lord will strike him, or his day will come that he dies, or he will go down into battle and perish. David is saying this. Well, let me just finish it. Verse 11. The Lord forbid that I should stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. But now, please take the spear that is at his head and the jug of water, and let's go. So you see how close they are. They're right there whispering. While the whole army is sleeping around, they're in the middle of the camp. Okay? And David says, no, God forbid that I'm going to stretch out my hand. Why? Because the Lord will strike him, or his day will come that he dies. In other words, he will die, or he'll be struck down in battle. His end is going to come, David's saying, but it's not going to come at my hand. So verse 12. So David took the spear and the jug of water from beside Saul's head, and they went away. But no one saw or knew it, nor did any awake, for they were all asleep, because a sound sleep from the Lord had fallen on them. Did you know that sound sleep can come from the Lord? That the Lord can release a sound sleep upon your enemies to where they will not hear you? You know, when I first encountered this story years and years and years and years ago, the thing that I was wondering about was, where's the guards? You know, you always had guards awake, watching everything, but everybody fell asleep. Why did everybody fall asleep? Because a sound sleep from the Lord had fallen on them. I don't know. I think David knew that a sound sleep from the Lord had fallen upon them. Perhaps he could see that the guards had fallen asleep. Perhaps he could see, because they were, that's what he was doing. He went there and he could see it all, that he saw everybody asleep. Maybe the Lord clued him in on it. Okay, maybe he just had a feeling that something was going on like that. But he went down. He did not kill him. And, you know, in your Bible, study Bible, will probably have a headline like, David spares Saul's life again. Well, in a manner of speaking, yes, but that's not really what's going on. What you could really say is that David refuses to play God again. He said, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed, but I will do this. Take that spear right there and take the water jug and let's get out of here. Why did he do that? Well, in case it came in handy later, which it would very, very soon in this account right here. And so David wanted to communicate some things. He wanted them to know some things. And he was driving home the point to Saul that I am not your enemy. Well, we'll continue on the next time. I'll see y'all then.